Rightio. Well, Tuesday morning here at Warriors HQ, and fair to say I'm excited for this one off the back of that massive performance from the lads. Get to dissect that with my mate Monty. Before we get into that though, quick shout out to the TAB, of course the home of rugby league punting here in New Zealand. So if you are having a flutter this weekend, jump on their app or their website. Power plays, boosted options galore. It's 18+. And remember to gamble responsibly. But Monty, mate, you've been a bit MIA over the last couple of weeks.
I've just been waiting on the bench, mate, waiting for my chance on the field, waiting for my boarding pass. It hasn't come, but now I'm here.
Yeah, you're back in. How have you been, mate? Footy aside, how's life been?
Oh, it's all about footy, really, man. When footy is good and the boys are playing good, my life is even better. Mm. But it's been good. You know, I got FOMO for the game against the Knights because I was overseas. I wasn't doing commentary. I wasn't part of the feel. I thought I was saying no enough to the family, so I went over for a little break on the GC, but it was great to get the result and watch that from afar, man. That was a good one as well, and backed up by, of course, the result on the weekend. Three in a row, brother.
Yeah, pretty crazy. Yeah. Pretty crazy. It must make rocking up to work a little easier. 34 points to 4, a clinic from the lads, and arguably, in my opinion anyway, our most kind of complete performance so far. Is that how you saw it?
Yeah, well, you know, think about stats, and I'm not a man of stats because, you know, not everyone's been there through their history, but, you know, they won 14 of the last 15 games. Mm. You know, the last time we beat them was over in Perth, and even then they were talking about the monkey off the back, and this weekend was a gorilla off the back. But like it was in Perth, and you think about where that game was and how it started a run of 5 wins straight in a row that year in 2018, I think a win like that really does make you believe a little bit more. Not everyone, because across the board there's some belief, but some of the younger guys or some of the guys that are newer to first grade. And, you know, when you go in there and when all you've done is face a team like South, and every time you see that colour, you go away not getting any points. This time you go away. So you start thinking, oh, okay, this can be done. And not only be done so well in a way that was just, you know, like you said, one of the best, most complete performance.
Does that almost in a way make it seem like a double point win? Like you obviously get the 2 points, but the psychological effect of beating a team that you haven't bet in many years and a side that had so much to prove because their backs are against the wall, to go over there and get the job done away from home and a tough week to prepare because we heard about this weather the night before, it was shocking. Yeah. That makes it even more impressive, doesn't it?
Well, and you've got 5 key players out there would have made a big contribution to the game. You know, Marata, you know, you had Luke, Walks, you know, there's Dallin. There were so many players that would have been amongst a lot of salary cap on the bench. So, yes, I think it was a huge win. But to come back and put 3 in a row. But also on top of that, once 4 points against, I know South are struggling a little bit, but this is the best defensive team in the competition. Now we hear time and time again that, you know, defense wins matches. So, you know, 72 points against, and I know we're tied with a couple of other teams, but we've played the extra game. They haven't. And I'm talking about Cronulla and Melbourne. So, you know, it all bodes well for the year ahead. You know, you start off a little bit shaky, you get a little bit worried as a fan, especially if you're not in here seeing what they're doing, or if you don't dissect the game well enough to realise that there were some really good parts of the games they played in the first 2 games to come away and not quite get the points. But we're all smiles at the moment, man, but another tough one this weekend.
You touched on that depth before. Obviously, Tomato comes straight back in into the halves. He looked exceptional. We're worried because Luke Metcalf's been firing on all cylinders, but T looked like he hadn't missed a beat. Really did just show that depth that we've been talking about, right? Right from week one, we've been saying we've got the most stacked top 30 in the comp, and it was on display on the weekend.
Well, it's not just Luke Metcalf, it's Wets, it's Pompey, and what he's been able to do in the last 2 games. He's been running for great meters, defensively very sound, a guy that, you know, played every minute of every game last year, unlucky to miss out this year only because he's got a freak of a talent. You know, generational player in Roger Tuivasa-Sheck that gets pushed in ahead of him. But once again, when you get your opportunity to shine, you take that moment, you don't want to let anyone down. And that's exactly what him and Tamati have done as well. You know, that's the thing. You've got Shanae Harris-Tavita as well that could have gone into that position. But, you know, he's better probably received as a quality bench player along the likes of a Lance or hire someone who can really play in a number of positions and play so well. So depth is wonderful, but also the mentality. You know, if we think about Wade Egan and how he's been, I don't reckon he would have come back as soon if it wasn't for Freddie and how good Freddie was playing, because then that puts the pressure on. You don't want to give anyone else an extra week to show their wares and show how good they are. So when everyone's on time, when everyone's chomping at the bit to get their chance to play and to contribute to the team, man, it's all looking very good for the future.
And of course, it was a milestone game for the man you mentioned before, Roger Tuivasa-Sheck, 200 games. I think a couple of years ago when he departed our team, we thought maybe this day wouldn't come around. So how special is it to see Roger, A, achieve that, and then B, do it at the Warriors?
Oh, look, he's special full stop. When you talk about Roger, and people talk about Roger pre-COVID or pre-leaving and also coming back, and look, just transition back again from playing that other game of rugby union to league now, it's like he hasn't been away. Mm-hmm. He's been sensational, and to make it even worse, he's coming back to his old game, which is the new game now, but he's playing in a number of positions. Yeah. He hasn't played in one position for a set period of time. That makes it easier for him. But he's that way. He really does care about the team and contributing and doing what's best for the team, and also what's best for his family. And to be able to play in a number of positions like that is huge. And that's the whole point about the depth as well. It's not just players that can play and come in for other players that were out injured or you know, be suspended, but it's a number of players who can play in a number of different positions like Roger. You know, absolute quality, man.
Yeah, he's an exceptional centre. He's an exceptional fullback, and he's a pretty handy winger as well, isn't he?
Yeah, exceptional full stop. I hope that puts to bed the whole, you know, surely, Roger at fullback chance, because I know there would have been so much pressure on Chance going into this game. And the way he spoke about Roger after the game as his hero and one of his mentors, he would have had a lot of noise in his head too, going, am I potentially good enough? Everyone else is saying, why isn't Roger in that position? And he's in that position. But, you know, when you haven't played all year, because he never played in the trials, to come out and run 260 metres, have a try assist, you know, save some tries, have a number of tackle breaks, and to be there and support that defensive line and push him around is insane, man. And you know, to have key players like that across the park is what we need for the side to be successful. But you know, 72 points against, once I said again, defense wins matches, and defense wins competitions as well. So let's see if this can continue on, because it's going to really help.
We touched on Rog there, and you saw his family and friends there. Shout out to our Caleb Clark as well. That one must have been pretty ironic, I guess, because he's a Bunnies fan, but he was there in his Roger 200 shirt, so it's kind of a sour note for him. But cool to see Roger's family there. That makes the milestone even more significant.
It happened a few days previous when I did the jersey presentation, and we're down here at the club, and then his mother turned up, and his kids were there, and Ash, and his father-in-law, and some uncles, and his sisters, and that was another special moment where his mum doesn't normally speak, but on this occasion she decided she wanted to speak on behalf of the family, which I think made Roger feel even better about it, and he made mention to that. And he spoke about his purpose, which is his family. You know, he said from a very young age, you know, he realised that if he was successful as a, you know, full-time player, professional player, that his family would benefit from that, and that's what he wants to do. Makes it really key in terms of what's important to him, but just how selfless he is as well and what he wants to do for this team. And also what he said for a very long time, and it's why he keeps coming back, and it's a carrot that really has over the years, 30 seasons to be exact, keeps trying to get the players to come back, because everyone wants to be the first to win that title for the club. You know, and he believes that can be done. And from what we're seeing, you know, it's looking pretty good at this stage of the year.
At the other end of the scale, we had a debut as well, and I know you're excited to talk about this kid, Jake Laban, Warrior 286, another proud Warrior from Wellington as well, which is cool to see. Well, first carry straight at Cody Walker, then at that error from Luttrell that he forced, which led to that try to Roger. He looked like he'd been in first grade for a hot minute. This kid's got a massive future, right?
Well, he's still 19. I think he's going to turn 20. Last year was SG Ball, and he spent some time in COVID. I loved how he spoke post-game, saying that, you know, there's a few of the boys who, you know, they grew up, they wanted to play for this club. They loved the jersey, and they held it down where other players were leaving overseas for, you know, better opportunities, or what they thought were better opportunities. And now look how the first grade are going. To see a young man like that who doesn't say a hell of a lot, although he's really grown in terms of who he is as a man and kid over the years, not just by playing, but who he is as a person. It's been wonderful to see. But he was talking about how, you know, how much this club means to him, and how he played, and finally getting his chance to go out there. Wonderful player. I think being in New Zealand last year helped, you know, really put the icing on the cake for the year he had last year and this year in preseason, how he would just, you know, not just be happy of being part of the squad. He would really fight every opportunity. I remember watching him on the wrestling mat with Tohu Harris and other of the guys, you know, really give it to them, trying to get over top of them and even out there on the field in terms of every opportunity to get and collisions with and without the ball. He's really trying to show how good he is and, you know, and he's been rewarded as a result of that for his form and playing. And there's a number of young guys coming through as well. We saw Ali last year, Dimitrik as well. Zion Mo'u is still to come. And one of the best, potentially, and probably the most talented is Leka Halasima as well. So Pathways, they're doing their job. You know, 17s, 19s, 21s. They can all look at these young kids that are coming through and think, you know, if they can do it, I can do it. So it's exciting for them as well.
You mentioned those names there, those young boys. Like, you look at our four pack at the moment, it's exceptional. But when you look at that group of young bulls coming through, they're already pushing them. Like, so exciting for the future, isn't it?
I'm excited, especially seeing Jake speak like that and then knowing the rest of the crew and they've seen what Jake has done in this short period of time. They'll want some of that too. They'll want to have a taste of that. They want to be alongside him. And when they do and they finally get to that moment, it makes it even better. You know, these young grades of yesteryear that have come through, the Bunties, the Jazz, who played in a winning under a 20s team with Stacey Jones, they come through. They have the history. They want to play for the jumper. And when it comes to that first grade level, you know, you see the fruits of their labours and the history that they've done in terms of their time in the jumper.
Yeah, it's exciting times. I wanted to dive into our attack a little more from the weekend.
Yes.
34 points. And I think over the first few weeks, everyone's kind of seen that template that Webby and the coaching staff have been trying to implement. But it's lacked a little bit of polish at times. We've nailed it on certain occasions, but on others, just looked like we're missing just like one or two connections there. Whereas on the weekend, I thought we were exceptional. And the best thing about our shape is there's so many variations as well. We've got different options. We can hit the front and then play the back on the second time. And we saw it with that try there for SJ Chan running through the ruck off Wade. With Wade and Shawnee there, we've got two elite ball players. What excites you the most about our attack and I guess the number of threats that we have?
I think what excites me the most is we're not on yet, on fully in terms of how good we can be. I think when Roger goes back out to that left centre and we lose a bit of real strike, although Tamati scored a nice try on the weekend without Roger there and that exceptional speed. Be nice to see Roger there and being able to roam a little bit more. Then we've got real attack on that left edge. But you mentioned Wade. Wade's been exceptional. And I know he's probably going to be up there in Madge McGuire's minds in terms
of
New South Wales.
Called it episode two.
Even the year before that, you know, last year, we were there doing the Kiwi selections. And, of course, you know, Madge McGuire picked up his name there and then for Kiwis. How long has he got here? So it was funny after the show and the press conference, Webby was like, nah, not New Zealand, New South Wales. So he was putting his hand up for New South Wales. But Wade is just the growth and where he's got to now. He is one of the best three hookers in the competition. And if you think about New South Wales, who's not my team, I'm Queensland, I don't think there's a complete hooker out there like him. Like Uppy is exceptional. Mm. I just think Wade offers a little bit more in defence. But imagine if you've got those two together going one after the other, probably Wade starting the match and Uppy coming on. Unbelievable players. But just you wouldn't think it was possible for Wade to do what he's done now. Apparently that was what he was like in under 20s.
Yeah,
he was
right.
Exceptional player in under 20s and he was just showing all what he's showing now. But when he first came to the club, you know, probably trying to transition and find his bearings. But just every year he's got better and better. And just now there's nothing that he can take away from him because I know he's got a kicking game as well. And I'm sure in time that's going to come out. But his service is crisp. It is on. His running has just been brilliant out of dummy half and just his subtleties in around the ruck and he just defies time and he slows it down when he jumps out because you know when he jumps out those guys at the markers, the A's, the B's, they don't want to engage.
No.
But they find themselves mesmerised because they need to because of such subtleties and way he plays. He's got a number of ways to – you don't go get him on the first bite when he turns in and he dips his shoulders and then he goes again, he normally gets him on that one. It just creates enough room. And if he doesn't make a play that makes a full-on break, all it does is create a bit of momentum.
Yeah.
And if you create a bit of momentum in this, then the next tackle is going to be better and then it adds up and it gets so much better. So all you need to do in this competition when it's so tight in terms of arm wrestles is just get some momentum. and then you can play off the back of momentum, and that's what he's been doing. He's been exceptional. I was like, in the last 10 minutes, like, get him off, get him off.
Yeah.
Then they got Sean off.
Yeah,
know?
Yeah.
And when I'm giving Wade a rap, Sean too, he's just been, you know, top three halfbacks in the competition.
Mm.
But because everyone else is playing so well, because we expect that of Sean now, we don't highlight him as much. But Sean has just been outstanding. The
yeah.
meters as well,
on yeah.
the back of Sean is playing. Man, he is just on fire, Sean.
Yeah, one of the things that impressed me on the weekend too in his game was his support play. I thought that was something we might miss without Luke, because quite often whenever there's a half break, Lukey Metz the first one there. But I thought T and SJ did that so well on the weekend, resulted in a couple tries. But that's pure effort plays, isn't it? Because you could easily sit back on your heels.
It was the 1%ers. And, you know, when you've got a veteran who's played for, you know, 200-plus games, still trying to do those 1%ers because he cares so much. And is it his last year? Probably not. Hopefully not. But he still just cares so much, and he wants to contribute because he knows those effort areas are a way of getting to a result, you know, through a hard process and doing the things that no one else really wants to do, but he'll do. You know, when the star player who's been noted over the years for all the big plays and clutch plays and fancy plays wants to just get his head dirty and get involved, it just shows you the mindset of the club, man.
Momentum is a massive thing in our game, and we saw on the weekend time and time again, we'll get 55, 60 metres before we kick. He touched on SJ's kicking game. The Bunnies were getting the ball, what, 2 to 3 metres out from their try line every time. How hard is that to stop that momentum in a game when it's just relentless, right? You got Adam, Mitch Barnett, Tohu, Tommy Ale off the bench, Jazz. Just seems like it's non-stop.
Well, it's hard, man, because, you know, in that first passage of play as well, in that arm wrestle, there's not many breaks or stoppages, and that suits our boys because they're not the biggest pack, but they're a pack that, you know, are resilient and they'll just keep working, and they've got big engines. Mm-hmm. So then you just can't get sick of just doing the same old again, put it up. You know, we noted from South when they were doing it, they weren't kicking to Roger's side, they'll kick to Marcelo's side, and Marcelo did great here, 20 runs, and they were huge runs, which helped start off the sets.
Mm.
But, you know, it's where you kick the ball, where you finish or start, let them start their sets, which make a huge difference because, you know, if Roger starts the set off, then chances are he's going to break a few ankles, and then there's going to be a bit of momentum and they can play off the back of that. So it really is at times when it thinks, for the observer looking in and thinks it's a little bit boring or it's a bit mundane, it's the same old, there's a reason for that, man, you know. And even with some of the shapes and setups of the boys, it may look the same play, but it's just like in boxing, if you let them see one thing, it's that little variation or that little subtle change up that actually knocks the opponent out, because they get used to seeing that, and it's that little change at that different stage which you know, just brings on the knockout or just catches them unawares, and that's what it's like, as you mentioned, the variations around the ruck plays or the shape that the boys have got.
You touched on the defense a couple of times. 14.4 points we're averaging per game conceding, which is the best in the competition. That aside, what's impressed you the most about our defence? Because I feel like our goal line defence in particular last year came on massively, but now we're seeing that kind of implemented across the whole field. And I think our scramble D has been great too. A couple times on the weekend we got caught a little short with some new combinations, but there's three or four guys corner flagging back every time just to shut it down.
I think adjustments are really good. In that first half, our right edge were under all sorts of problems. Every time they went out to the left, South Sydney, we were struggling. We just looked like we're in all sorts, but in the second half that got spoken and addressed, and they came out and they were really good. So I think one thing last year that really helped us was the single leg takedowns, when we had two or three men in the tackle, but you can't do that this year. It's illegal. You have to have two legs to take them to the ground. So I think that adjustment once again to be better at getting them down and going with two legs, making that adjustment, because a single leg last year was brilliant for us, and we really did slow up the tackles and defenders and win a lot of collisions and wrestles at the end as a result of that single leg lift. So just the way they adjust, we know they're fit enough, but how they turn up for each other is really good. But if I'm serious, I don't think we're seeing the best of them defensively. We don't get the same feel of resilience as we had last year. So that excites me, because I feel like we're not firing on all cylinders on attack or defence. So, you know, that's probably pleasing, man.
Yeah, scary times. The away crowd showed up again. It was unreal scenes. Like, you're sitting at home watching it on the TV and the Warriors chants are just blasting through your television set. As for the players, that must give them a massive lift. But as fans, home fans, you can't help but be proud hearing that, seeing that the Aussie contingent just show up in force.
I'm often in awe of the fan of today. Not saying that the fan of yesterday are not part of today, but it's just how they've evolved in that time. Maybe it's because they had 1,030 days without seeing their boys at home. Absence makes the heart grow fonder, and that, you know, when you don't have it, you really appreciate it. Because now the game at home, Go Media Stadium, like, I just look up there when I'm doing commentary, I look around, and I just take a moment to suck it all in, and I'm just going, wow, the fans, the signs, even just people. I'm driving my Warriors car out on the road. I'm getting the old Manawa wave. Yeah. That's right. Having two hands on the wheel.
You must be well practiced then. Yeah, there he is.
But even down there in Christchurch in the box, they just turned around commentary after the game and just throwing that at me. And I was like, But that's the crowd of today and what they do. And I know the fans, I know the players appreciate it. And I know Weeby appreciate it, because I know when they're at home, Weeby goes, look, it's a full house again, boys. You know what we've got to do. We've got to repay the faith in the fans. Commercial, all year's been sold out. I think it's another sellout this weekend for the Manly game. That is, I believe, talking to Glenn Critchley, I think number six sold out game.
Crazy.
So it is absolutely unreal. But that's, you know, it's huge. And overseas as well. To the people overseas who do your thing, man, mad respect, because it is so appreciated. And, you know, there's no place like home. But when you leave home and it feels like home, it makes a huge difference. Because once upon a time, when the boys went on the road, they couldn't even find a win. They couldn't pay for a win. But now they go away and you don't feel like they're against it. You feel like they're at home and you feel like they can do it.
Three wins on the trot, which has proven hard to pull together for any team in this competition. Like, on any given day, anyone can beat anyone. The results have been so up and down. To go on a win streak like this could prove to be very important, right? When teams are constantly kind of jockeying for positions, anyone can get up on their day. Three on the bounce, that's 6 points. We come back home to take on Manly. Pretty good little streak there.
It's a great streak, but here's the next thing. Okay, so you got another three games coming up, so you're going to win. You got to win at least two, three. Otherwise, you find yourself on the reverse or the receiving end of those little win streaks, and the momentum can be against you. So that's how it is. They did really well to fight back from 0-2 to be 3-2. Now they've got a good game at home against a very good Manly side. It's about trying to get that win and keep winning. The more mini runs you can have in streaks going through the year, because there's going to be periods. Who knows, we might have some players that are going to be playing Origin this year. Well, these injuries, everyone's been tested so far this season already. So it just shows you. So you just got to pick those wins up when you can. And, you know, and when you do get those win streaks going, and all of a sudden you get this feel like you're going to win anyway, it becomes a habit, just like losing does. So it's the habit of winning is the one that you want more. And with the crowd, like you mentioned before, and they keep turning up and doing what they do, it just helps you want to relive that feel and that winning way.
Do you notice a different kind of swagger in the boys after they've put together a couple wins? And saying that, I guess even when the results weren't going their way at the start of the season, they knew they were playing good footy as well. But can you sense a different type of vibe now they're back, looking forward to a huge week this weekend?
Yeah, it's not swagger. It's happiness. They really feel happy because I think they feel the pressure. Even those two games, not that people were showing it, but I was really observant to how the staff were, to how the players were. And, you know, I knew they were under pressure, but they still enjoyed what they did. And, you know, Weeby and everyone here makes the environment a good one, friendly one to be a part of. And you enjoy turning up to every day. And that's what I see now. It's not swagger. It's like, we want more. The injured players are trying to get back from injury so they can contribute. The guys that are there just want to stay at their best so that they can just keep the streak going. So it's a real good feel, and that's the way it is. You know, but there are going to be moments like there was early on in the year to begin the season where there's testing times because of the outside looking in who aren't seeing what you're trying to do to win matches or to better yourself, and they put a bit of pressure on, but then also yourself as individuals, because you know how important it is to be the best of your game as well, man.
So casting the eye ahead to this weekend, like, it's great to pull off a win like that, but it doesn't get any easier taking on a Manly side that'll be riding a wave after beating Penrith, which a lot of people probably didn't expect. They've got plenty of threats, your Tom Dravojevic's, Molly Olakuatu, Luke Brooks playing good football as well. What have you made of Manly's performances? What have you made of Manly's performances so far?
Yeah, very good. I even thought last year, there's periods through last year where I just thought, you know, they had a team of really strong ball carriers, and if they did put it together, that you know, they could threaten the team, but they weren't able to put it together as much. But they're a lot more complete this year. Obviously, the Dvojevic brothers, you know, and then Luke Brooks coming.
Yeah.
Daly Cherry in fine form. You know, Paseka, a big human who knows how big he is, and he's throwing that around. And even the old fella, Nathan Brown.
Yeah.
How he's been changing the game for them off the bench. And now he's a no-thrills type of a guy.
Mm-hmm.
But in terms of coming on, seeing an opportunity where he can change momentum or he can uplift his players in terms of their spirits or fight, that's exactly what he's been doing, man. So I'm looking forward to him coming out here because I know he's going to come from the back fence and I know he's going to come flying out defensively. And we know that the fans will welcome that as well, and they'll be there to jail, or they'll be there to cheer on our boys as well. So, I mean, those are the sort of characters and players that can change a game, but also are the reason why you come to watch the game, because it's players like that who take it upon themselves within systems to be great.
You touched on DCE in fine form, and him and SJ, they'll have another battle. We saw Daly get the record for most caps for Manly, 310 now, I think, and him and Sean came into the comp in the same year, and they've had some great clashes over the years.
2011,
both, eh? Yeah, pretty crazy to think now. Both elite kicking games, elite ball players. So you're looking forward to watching those two go head-to-head yet again?
For sure, because I think those two will have a huge bearing on the outcome of the game. The kick games, kick meters, the way they're clutch on occasion, but also what they, you know, want from their players and expect from their players. They've both got great people outside them. So it's about, you know, just, you know, using them and putting them in better positions. But, you know, like, think about those two guys coming, debuting in 2011 and playing in the grand final in their first year, Daly winning it, of course. But just Daly just gets better. So is Shawnee. Mm. It's surprising what those two have been able to do in the last couple of years, because they really have been the best you know, halves in the competition. Man, Shawnee has been exceptional.
Yeah, he's been crazy. And Manly historically have a pretty good fan base here as well. They've got a lot of Kiwi fans, so no doubt they'll get some supporters in decent numbers. But like you touched on before, another sold-out game at Go Media Stadium.
Don't DM me. I can't get you tickets. I know you have been.
The worst.
It's too late, mate.
The worst. Too late. Never check the requests, eh?
You've got to get in early because, you know, it's the hottest ticket in town. And what they've done down here in terms of the game day experience is unreal.
Mm. And on that, the Anzac clash coming up, if you haven't got tickets to that, be jumping in real quick, because that's going to be a historic one and pretty unreal scenes as well.
And some of the people that are going to be there in the lounge, we've got two great old boys coming back for that. We've got JK and Mark Ellis that are going to be our guests in the Bailey's Lounge.
Elite.
Awesome having the old boys come back who were really good in their lanes, who are coming back, and they're coming back because they want to be amongst it and they want to enjoy game day and see the boys and pay tribute to them, man. It is some good times at the moment, Benny.
For sure. Before we throw to Jacko for some producer/fan questions, just kind of wanted to touch on what you want to see from the boys this week, because last weekend was extremely impressive. Where's that next step for us?
Yeah, once again, it's going to be a really tough game at home. And I think we've been getting the mix right of the arm wrestle, not trying to overplay your hand, but we do really need to starve this side of possession because they've got such great ball carriers, and what they can do with the ball is quite scary behind Daly and Luke Brooks. So defensively, got to be sound again. You know, the boys just got to turn up and just enjoy it, which I think they will. You know, when you've gone on a little streak like this, you turn up a little bit happier with a little bit more of a spring in your step, and you're at home.
Mm.
I know how much the boys love playing at home, but, you know, in these next three games, you really want to pick up two just to keep that momentum going, you know, if not three.
Yeah.
And it starts here. Because, you know, you always have challenges, and when you see someone beat the premiers for them last 3 years like that, it's a good yardstick for yourself to see where you are in the competition. As an individual facing up against your class opposition, or even just as a team.
Yeah. Michael, cool.
Love that. Only a couple of quick footy nerdy ones from the behind the desk here, Monts. You sort of touched on, or Benny touched on, DCE versus SJ. A bit wider than that, bro. I kind of wanted to have a conversation around the state of the game. The older halves, Adam Reynolds. I know Nathan Cleary is a bit of an outlier, but Adam Reynolds, Sean, DCE, Munster's 30, the Chad with the hairline of doom still doing the thing up there. I just kind of want to have the chat about the older playmakers, bro, and I guess liken it to your day in your sort of era. Was it always the older playmakers dominating, or is it just something we're noticing now?
I think with any player in any position, if you can be there and your body's still staying with you and you're a little bit older and more experienced, having had the history behind you, that's where you're an absolute force. That's if your body is stayed intact and you're being good enough to get the best out of your body as well. But yeah, when you think about that, you know, with them playing also and the great halves of the game, it does make you think of who's coming on next and what's the next wave going to look like and how soon are they going to come in, because, you know, when you lose those names and you think about the product we have of rugby league now, we need those halves because they're a vital part of winning any games. And you know, in terms of the entertainment value and attacking, the kicks they put up, everything else. So, yeah, it's always a vote for the old boys for me, man.
Yeah, I knew you loved that. And just last one from me. I know you're a defensive guy, and every time you get to talk about defense, you light up, mate. The Rock, Rocco Berry. I think we've spoken about him a couple of times. Braden mentioned him as kind of the unsung hero of the team, but I think he's starting to probably get a bit of the shine that he deserves. The job he did on Wyden, that the most courageous line I've seen in a hot minute. Talk a little bit about Rocco, bro. And for someone who you've been around the inner sanctum for a few years now and seen it development, what have you made of his last few weeks?
Look, he's the guy I always go past. I shake his hand. Hey, you big bastard.
He is big,
eh? Because he knows he is now. And that's the thing, you know, Willie Mason and some of these other guys coming through the young grades who always had that potential and that size and the ability just to be a mammoth or a man mountain. Rocco Berry is one of them, and he hasn't even filled out yet. He's starting to, but he's going to be even bigger and stronger. Just watching his progress last year and how he came on and some of the things he did, especially in the back end of the year, were exceptional. You know, he was close to potentially being in the Kiwi squad as well in terms of actually playing.
Yeah,
that's how good he is, and he's gone from strength to strength this year. I just love the way he hunts. You know, he leads that kick chase, he goes down there, and then not only does he make a good decision every time they go up the ball, do I tackle him now? Do I wait for the ball to come down? Because, you know, it's a really fine line. If you give away a penalty, you lose that momentum that you have, and then where you are on the end of the field. But then you watch him straight away from marker. He'll chase out and he'll axe the next guy and he'll try and work from there and he'll get that big body moving. But just those courageous lines that he runs as well, just off Sean, because, I mean, there's no one really better to run off than Sean.
Yeah.
You know, Sean is going to isolate defenders. Shoulder's going to turn in on him, and when they turn in on Sean, that means that's
where
you need to go. But even if they don't turn in, he knows he's big enough, strong enough to just go through blokes.
Yeah.
And he just, you know, the more we find him and the more we give him the opportunity, the more dangerous he's going to be. But also the back door running, you know, behind him, because Rocco Berry has just gone from strength to strength. And we know we had some pretty young, talented Kiwi centres last year. But look, I'm telling you, it's not far away till Rocco Berry is going to be in the mix. And one guy that's going to be really hotly contesting for that. He's doing a fine job in the Warriors jumper, and I'm sure it's going to be a black and white one, you know, in the near future.
Exciting times. Well, cheers for that, Monts. A couple of weeks away, but you never disappoint, mate. So cheers for that yarn, and looking forward to dissecting a few more big wins in the weeks to come. But hope you enjoy this weekend's game and hopefully another 13-plus win from the boys.
I'll take 2 points, man. But let's go.
Sure, Monts.